T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
And joining us now, speedy delivery man himself, David Newell. He played Mr. McFeely on the great Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood over the years. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Well, I'm glad to. Speedy delivery, Ryan.
You travel a lot. I was surprised when I messaged out to you. You were still on the road. Were you helping promote the documentary that just came out?
Yes. I've done a lot of hosting of the documentary in various cities. They'll show it at a local theater or a local conference, and they invite me to come and host it and do a Q&A, and then afterwards I do a meet and greet. As David Newell, I don't go in the character of McFeely. I go, that's my real name, David Newell,
right?
A.K.A. Mr. McFeely. So yeah. Yes, I do a lot of traveling for that, or I have been doing a lot. And then I've been involved in a very small way with the new film that is being shot in Pittsburgh. Well, it's finished, but yeah. It's Tom Hanks is playing Mr. Rogers in a feature film.
Yeah.
Did you not know that?
Well, I did see that. Okay. I saw that the actor that's playing you is Daniel Krell, who's also a Pittsburgh native, so has those ties.
Yes. And also, I understand now whether apparently there's another scene in the film where Chris Cooper, the actor, is in the film playing the father of the author in the film. He apparently, there's a dream sequence where Chris Cooper's playing Mr. McFeely. I can't understand how all that works, but McFeely's in it, and I have a cameo in it.
Oh, that's great.
Along with Mrs. Rogers and a few of the staff members.
Oh, that's great.
You'll have to look for it. You know,
of course.
I, being in television a long time now, I know the cutting room floor is always beckoning, but I hope they keep it in.
You know, I always wonder, because people say, you know, if I was ever played in a movie, I'd want so-and-so to play me. So how do you think Daniel Krell plays you?
Well, I've seen him in costume, but I didn't actually see the scene being taped. Now, he looked great. They made the costume to the buttons that I have on my costume. They found the tailor that made mine lives in Pittsburgh, my costumes over the years, and he has these brass buttons with M on it for McFeely. And he had a supply of it, and I gave the name of my tailor to the costumer on the film, and they found them. And so they've duplicated the sets. I walked into the studio where we taped Mr. Rogers. They taped the film there, movie, in the same studio.
Same studio? Wow.
Yeah, WQED in Pittsburgh. It's a public television station in Pittsburgh, just like an equivalent in St. Louis would be KTCS. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have it's the Channel 9 network. They do a lot out here with it. Yeah.
Yes, and I've been there a lot. I've been to St. Louis a lot over the years for the station. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's where the Muni Opera is in that park.
Oh, yeah.
They had a, traditionally the public station had a spring festival, and I was part of that for many years, meeting the people who would watch the program we had.
Wow.
It was a big, big event, and I met tons of families who watched all the kids' shows. So St. Louis is a beautiful area. I love that part.
We're talking to David Newell. He played Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I love that you've been here and you have memories of St. Louis, and of course over the years you traveled an awful lot. And I'm fascinated to find out that they recorded part of this new movie inside of the original studios. Like, do you make it to those original studios? Do you ever just drop by to say hi?
Oh, yes. I'm there a lot.
Yeah.
We had our offices in the studios for 43 years.
Wow.
That was where I spent my life, in that studio. It has three studios in the building. And there's a very large studio where we taped our program. And I go back quite often to, because I help with the pledges, the local PBS pledges. I help with, so I'm back there a lot. But it really gives me a pang of sorts to go back, because it's bittersweet, you know, going back into the place where you made, you spent your life practically. A good chunk of my life was spent in that building. Well, I guess you feel the same way. You spend a lot of your life in a radio studio.
Radio's much different in the sense that it's a very unstable industry. So I've moved. I mean, I grew up in Michigan. I worked at radio stations in Ohio, Indiana, and Wisconsin until I moved here to St. Louis. So I wouldn't say that I feel any certain connection to maybe the buildings and the people, because it moves around so much to me. For you, that's such a rare thing. You were on everyone's television for decades. People know who you are. It's just beautiful. It really is a beautiful thing.
Well, it's on Amazon.com. You can get about 500 of them.
That's where I watch it with my son. We watch the episodes. He loves them.
Well, good. And that's interesting, because the second generation is now, well, another generation is now seeing the programs. You know, Fred Rogers started the neighborhood, started taping the neighborhood. We started in the fall of 1967, and on the air February 19th, 1968. That's the first program went national. And Fred, his concept for the neighborhood was to create a library of programs that generations of children can watch and watch and watch. And that's actually what's happening now. The programs we made have all been sort of cataloged and libraried, so to speak, and you children can watch them. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot more competition now. Back then, there were 4 or 5 channels. Now, there are 500 channels. But I think it's up to the parents to find them, find the PBS programs and introduce children to them.
You may know him as Mr. McFeely, played the wonderful children's character on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood after many, many decades. Still very active and traveling today to talk about the new documentary that just came out, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Of course, the big motion picture with Tom Hanks is coming out later this year as well. David Newell, will continue our conversation with him next on KMOX Profiles. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. A special interview today with David Newell. He played Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, speedy delivery man himself. If you have kids or grandkids, you know children's programming has changed a lot over the years. I mean, just from what I've seen with my own son, when you look back at some of the old Mr. Rogers' Neighborhoods and you watch it, just the certain pace that the show was able to maintain and keep the children's attention, there was something special about having that connection with the kids through this program, explaining things to them, talking to them in a certain way. Today, it's all about fast cuts, flashy lights, and merchandising. And it's so much different when you compare what I grew up with. And, you know, even when I grew up in the 80s, there was a lot of cartoons that were flashy.
Yes.
But there was still Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. But today, you don't get to see a lot of those styles of programs anymore. It's not what's appealing to, you know, the kids. It's weird.
Yeah, it's animation a lot, because the one thing about animation is that when you try to sell it to a foreign country, it's much cheaper because you don't have to worry about the dubbing as much.
Hmm.
We have a follow-up program that your son may watch called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
Of course.
And it's on public television. St. Louis carries it. And it's not only on all of the stations in the States, but it's in 24 countries now, too.
Hmm.
They're able to adapt it to different languages because animation is much easier to sync up the sound. So to speak, that's a technical.
No,
you know,
I get
what I'm
it.
Saying.
You know, we went to go see Daniel Tiger at one of the libraries. So there was someone in costume that came out, and they read one of the books to the kids.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
My son is terrified of people in costume, but you better believe he went up to Daniel Tiger like they were great friends. It was something different there.
well, that's not uncommon. A lot of children are afraid of costume characters. Yeah. You know, I remember taking my daughter to Disneyland when she was about 3, and she wouldn't go up to Mickey Mouse. It was just a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
But what Fred did, and I don't think Disney will do it, but what Fred did, he wanted to take. We had a character on the program called The Purple Panda.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out of his way to explain to children that it's a costume, and he showed how the costume fit on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way of breaking down the scary part of a costume to some children. Some children are frightened of Halloween, young children.
Sure.
No, we're talking about preschoolers now.
Yeah.
Older kids know that it's basically
mm-hmm.
pretend. But
right.
a young child doesn't, they don't separate fantasy and reality. And that's another thing that Fred Rogers does on the program. I don't know if your listeners know the setup of the program, but it's he comes in and that's a reality segment. Then it goes to the puppet segment, and that's a pretend fantasy.
Right.
Then he brings it back to reality. I always describe it to somebody, it's like a symphony. You know, symphonies start out with introducing the theme and then variations on the theme, and they bring it back to the main theme again. And that's how the program is set up.
Yeah. Were you as Mr. McFeely ever in the land of make-believe in the episodes?
Oh yes,
yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. I couldn't remember, because you are in the intro to Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in the Land of Make-Believe. They have a cartoon version of you in there.
Yes, yes. But how Fred would set it up would be, I may have delivered something to his living room,
mm-hmm.
and then before the trolley goes to the neighborhood of Make-Believe, he would say, now let's pretend today that Mr. McFeely is delivering something to King Friday, and then it goes in, and that way he sort of... But I went back and forth to both. The fantasy and reality. I was in the opening sequence and closing sequence more than the neighborhood, but I was in the neighborhood a lot, too,
right.
over the years.
You are a great host, too. I mean, just looking at some of the different episodes and going back on Amazon, the times that you would go out, and I don't know how you would decide where you would go, but there'd be different factories or assembly lines
yes.
or people working, and you would go and explain to children, this is what people do. And you've done I've watched a couple of them. You were a great host there, too.
Well, thank you. What we did with those, if your listeners have never seen them, we made about 200 of them, and we
wow.
went to places, factories that make something that children would understand, like the crayon factory, and we went to how people make construction paper and shoes and things that children can relate to. And what happens is that the camera people go out. Sometimes I would go to the factories and sometimes not, but mm-hmm. in some cases the camera people would go out, bring the footage back, edit it, and then we'd write a script based on what they edited,
right.
and then I would narrate it. Oh, I can either. There's been so many, but I think one of the most favorite, is that the right word?
Yeah.
The most mentioned, the people when they say the factory films, is the crayon. We
oh,
did
sure.
it at the Crayola factory in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere in eastern Pennsylvania, I believe.
I've seen it about no less than 50 times, because that one in particular one is a clip on the PBS app. So it's bookmarked to where my son can get to it very easily.
I see. Okay.
And he watches it. He'll say, let's watch the crayon one. He'll want to watch it over and over and over again. In some of the places that Mr. Rogers would go to. So I would see, you know, he might go and see some performers do a live performance for him if it was in a performing art hall or something. And
yes.
He would always have the biggest smile on his face with the people he would talk to. And I would look, and that is just so genuine. And it was so great to see that.
Now, those have the actual sound. We've done a lot of those, too, and one was the Dance Theater of Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, there's a performance art group called Stomp. I don't know if you've ever seen
them. Sure.
Yeah. We went to their theater in New York City, and they do a lot with buckets and old pipes and drums, oiled things that you can find around your house. And they it's incredible. If you ever see a touring coming
yeah.
company of it, go see it. And anyhow, we did about a 10-minute segment with them, and they demonstrated how they used some things you'd find around a house and how you can make music and percussion with
mm-hmm.
it. And it's something that kids can do, too. But it also, the other message was that some of the, you can pound on a drum, and you can, when you're angry, you're mad, and you don't have to hit somebody or something else,
mm-hmm.
you can take your anger out by pounding on a drum. So Fred talked all about subjects like that by using maybe a dance troupe like that, or somebody mm-hmm. like Stomp, who
right.
can pound out. And you can do two things. You can be entertaining, but you can also help yourself with some angry feelings you might have. Hmm.
What's your role with the Fred Rogers Foundation?
Right now, I used to work full time.
Yeah.
And I over the years my role changed. I was in charge of the production, making sure everything was there, and I played McFeely. Yeah. Then I was associate producer for a while. Then I did all the public relations, and all that time I played McFeely. Now. Right. What I do, I'm just doing McFeely. I'm also trying to put a book together of my years working on the neighborhood. Not a children's book, but a book about my behind the scenes, sort of that kind of a book.
Oh, that would be great.
And I, because everybody has seen the program somewhere, somehow. Everybody has seen something of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, so I think they're familiar with it.
Oh, of course.
But I'd like to talk about some of the people we've had on the program. For instance, we had the Wicked Witch of the West on, you know, the Margaret Hamilton from Wizard of Oz,
mm-hmm.
Because she scared a lot of the character, scared a lot of people or children. And so we brought her on to show that she was pretentious, an actress, and that's her job. Talk about segments like that that are fun, and then she became a good friend after we met her on the program, and experiences like that, and travels around the country. I've been to every State of the Union over a couple times now, just visiting the public stations and doing events. I'm on my way this weekend to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh.
They have a Martha's Vineyard Film Festival, and they're showing Won't You Be My Neighbor, and I'm going to be there with that.
Wonderful. Now you're keeping really busy.
I am. And I enjoy it because now I'm meeting the people who grew up with the program.
Yeah. You played Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for many years. David Newell will continue our conversation with him next on KMOX Profiles. It's a pleasure to talk to an entertainer I'm very familiar with, one I watched when I was a kid and now one that I watch with my own son. He plays Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. His name is David Newell. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, on KMOX Profiles. We'll learn more behind the scenes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Do you get a lot of fan letters?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I do. But now that on top of being McFeely, now they're seeing me as David Newell in the documentary. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting letters, a lot of letters now that I'm trying to keep up with. And I try to write them out in longhand. Just to make a personal touch.
Oh, wow.
So
that's how we were connected. My son and I would watch Daniel Tiger, and I said, you know, this is a show that I used to watch when I was growing up called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And that's how we started watching it. And I looked online. I was just curious how you were doing. And then I saw people were sending you fan letters. I saw people posting on the internet. And I thought, wow, we can do that for you with my son. And we did. And then you messaged me back. And that's how we set up this interview.
Yes. And here we are. Well, I enjoy hearing from people who grew up with the program. It's really, you know, you're in a radio studio, and we were in a TV studio. In a way, you feel like you're doing the program for four walls. But as you know, you get response. People call, and people see it. You go out, and if you ever come to Pittsburgh, and if any of your listeners ever come to Pittsburgh, and they want to see the original Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood set, it's at the Heinz History Museum in downtown Pittsburgh. They can see the actual set. And yesterday I was there meeting people, and no one was from Pittsburgh. One family is from Canada, another was from Philadelphia, one was from Iowa, another family is from Utah. And I was just there meeting friends who called. There was a family who wanted to meet Mr. McFeely, and would I be able to do that? And I said, sure, I'll come down. I can't stay all afternoon, but I'd be glad to come down. Well, I not only met them, but I met everybody else who was coming for a visit at the museum.
What a surprise for them, yeah.
It's very rewarding to get the feedback from people who have watched the program. And the people I'm meeting now range from in their 50s down through, children as old as, like your son, who's
four years old.
So there's a wide range of people who are familiar with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So it's been, there's this saying, you've heard of it, it's a little corny, but it's when you're picking a career, it says make sure when you pick your career or your line of work or whatever, make sure it's something you love, because you'll never work a day in your life. You've heard that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's, that might be a little corny now, but, you know, I've never worked a day in my life. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience working with Fred Rogers. And I've always felt that I'm a part of a wheel that's, you know, Fred's the center hub, I guess, and all of us were sort of spokes, all helping him with his mission.
Hmm.
And it was always a joy to go into work. And then I could travel to other parts of the country, and I've been this Guam, I've been in Alaska, I've been in the islands, in Virgin Islands. They all have public television stations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to see reactions to various groups of people.
Well, you mentioned never working a day in your life, and
yeah. You're
very positive, you're uplifting. Are there any days you feel unmotivated to be nice?
Not to be nice. I've never, I'm just who I am.
Yeah.
I never feel I have to work at that.
Yeah.
But there are days that, oh no,
one of those days.
when I get there, it's fine. It's just that there are some times that you have to do something that you promised you would do, and you know, but you do it. If you make a promise, I think you should do it. But
yeah. But
it's never been, for instance, when I was meeting the people at the museum yesterday, it was just me meeting them. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't,
yeah.
I wasn't putting on anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody called and said, oh, don't bother coming in, stay at home and read the New York Times, I would have said, okay.
Well, you know what, too? I think part of it is the community you're in with Pittsburgh. I think things may have been different if, let's say, you were in a studio in New York or Los Angeles. It wouldn't have like the same feel, the same local touch that you would in a community like a Pittsburgh.
That may be true. I think that's true. But although we have done, in the early days of the program, we did these studio tours with Fred Rogers and our musicians, and we would would go to L.A., we'd go to New York City,
mm-hmm.
and we'd do these, it wasn't a concert, it was just a little half-hour show, and they had ticketed.
Mm-hmm.
We did about 20 shows in one day. And Fred never wanted to do big shows. He wanted to make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd announce it one time, and it'd be sold out.
Sure.
And not, it was free. You know, we'd never charge, but it was a PR vehicle for the public station. But, you know, it's true what you say, but on the other hand, audiences, I found, react to the program no matter where you are about the same.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think what you're saying is that in Pittsburgh you're more in a city that's not known for showbiz or filming or theater.
I feel like if you were in a place like New York City, for example, where everything's so busy and there's a million different moving pieces, and you could be swapped in and out, and no one would bat an eye because they feel like that's just the thing.
I think you're right.
I feel like you had such a personal touch in Pittsburgh. Like, you could go down to the museum if you wanted to, and people would love meeting you. That's like a special thing that people are going to remember for the rest of their life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, and St. Louis has the same feel, I think.
I think it does. Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of Pittsburgh. In fact, it's now the gateway to the West. Remember when Pittsburgh was the gateway to the West? Then St. Louis happened. It's the gateway to the West. But I remember being in St. Louis several times, and we did. In fact, we did an event at the local public station in St. Louis, and afterwards, they took me on the. I went up to the the gateway.
The arch.
The arch, yes. And that, going up there's a little I was a little apprehensive as you clunk up the...
Yeah, you're in these little eggs, and you sit down, you're really close to everyone else, and then you go up, and you're right, it kind of like clicks its way to the top.
It's like a clog train or something.
And you don't see much because there's a window, but it's just to the inside of the arch, so you see scaffolding, maybe some stairs, things, but that's about it.
But it was interesting, and so I saw a lot of St. Louis, and actually, you know, I could get into a barge and come down to St. Louis, where our rivers lead to the Ohio that leads down to St. Louis. So, but it reminds me a lot. Pittsburgh and St. Louis remind me a lot of each other. They're about the same size city, I think.
Yeah,
and it's a working town, and so is Pittsburgh, and it's a big small town or a small big town, whatever you want to call it. And so is Pittsburgh.
We're talking to David Newell. He played Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You know, too, with Daniel Tiger, they do a lot of things at the library through Daniel Tiger. And same thing with Mr. Rogers. They'll do different series once a month at the library with the kids, and they'll go through different topics. And the great thing about the show was you handled something that not a lot of shows were handling. You talked about feelings and how to handle and, you know, how to understand and, you know, deal with your feelings. And that there's a lot of subject matter that you don't see any other shows tackling, that sort of thing. The way you were talking about how the show, when it would go on the road, would sell out, the same thing here with the public library system. When my wife finds out there's a new one that she can sign up for, you have to do it immediately because they also book up immediately at the libraries. So the appeal for Fred Rogers in 2019 is still there. It's very much there, and the parents recognize it. The kids still love it. I think it's one of those timeless things.
You know, I've always compared it somewhat to The Wizard of Oz. Look at when The Wizard of Oz comes on television or a movie theater, they're always reviving it. It's still as fresh as it was when it was released in 1938, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And The Neighborhood has that. Although the pace of The Neighborhood is not fast, but you know, it really is geared to a young child, and that's the pace that they comprehend at Fred Rogers' pace. You know, when it's flashy and quick cuts, that's a little too abrupt for that age group. A preschooler needs that pace to comprehend, to take it all in. And a lot of shows are the animation, but Daniel Tiger animation is much slower than most animation, and it's purposely that way because of Fred Rogers and he was a musician,
right?
And also he had theology background, and he also studied child development. So all those elements go into the program, and he knew children. You know, one time there was, and she still works for us, there was a woman who did her undergrad work in English Lit, I believe, and wanted to get into children's television. She came to Fred, this was back in the 1968, and wanted to get into children's television, and he met with her and said, you know, if you really want to get into children's television, what you should do is go to the University of Pittsburgh and take a master's degree in child development and learn about children, what motivates them, how they operate, you know, what the developmental process of a young child is. And she did. Mm-hmm. I think he thought, well, that's the last I'll see of her. And she did. She came back and Fred hired her, and she's still working at the program.
Wow.
But, you know, some of the advice people say, well, how do I get into children's television? And I think the first thing I would say was learn about children. Mm-hmm. You know, what do they like? What is their developmental process? A two-year-old is so much different than a five-year-old, and a five-year-old is so much different than a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. And there's a developmental process that they go through, so learn about that.
Yeah.
And then you can base the program accordingly. You know, a preschool program is so much different than a program for a third, fourth, fifth grader. Mm-hmm. Much different in what they can understand and take in. And, you know, a preschooler might not separate fantasy and reality. Well, an eighth grader knows the difference between pretend and reality.
Yeah.
The Superman can't fly, but a young 3-year-old might not quite understand that.
Sure. There's a huge fascination right now with Fred Rogers because of Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary that came out award-winning. And there's a major motion picture coming up as well. I'm going to talk more with Mr. McFeely, who played that character on the show for many years. David Newell is his name. And I'm going to ask him what he thinks of Tom Hanks depicting Fred Rogers next on KMOX Profiles. We're here one last time with David Newell. He played Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Of course, you've seen him in the documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor, and he'll be depicted as well on the major motion picture, which is coming out later this year. I wanted to know your general impressions of how you think Tom Hanks plays Fred Rogers. How have you seen that transformation, and what do you think of his adaptation of Fred Rogers?
Well, I think he's got, he did his homework. He came about a month before the filming began and went to, there's an archive of Fred Rogers Center on a campus called St. Vincent's College, where all the archives are and all the history and all the tapes of our programs. And he spent a day or two there just studying and looking at tapes and observing how Fred talked on mm-hmm. television and listened to interviews and things like that. And the first time a picture was released of Tom Hanks, there was a PR shot that they took. He was sitting on this dressing room trailer steps with his sneakers on and this sweater, and I did a double take. I looked up and said, oh, where did they get that picture of Fred? And it was Tom Hanks.
Whoa, so, it was that much. Yeah.
And I had to do it. Then I realized it was Tom Hanks. But then I saw him taping some of the scenes. And, you know, he it's Tom Hanks, but it's the essence of Fred Rogers. He's not trying to do a 100%, but he has it. I think it's very believable. He's got the essence down, and I think that's what matters. Wow.
And this was the same studio you recorded in?
Yes, the WQED in Pittsburgh is the public television station. It has a big studio, and that's where we did our taping. There's two other ones, but we did the main studio, and that's where they filmed the movie, too.
And it must have been weird to walk on that set again.
Oh, my, yes. I went to... They invited me to come to see the set. I met the set designer, and he said, hey, I'm driving into the studio. Why don't you come with me? I was at their offices talking about and answering questions about some props and so forth. So I went with him, and I walked in, and it was sort of like a time warp. Mm-hmm. I felt I was going back. We were taping, and they took all of the measurements. They took photographs. There was even King Friday's castle they duplicated.
Oh, wow.
And on it, there was a scratch somehow that the original bumped up against something, and there was a scratch or some scuff mark. Not bad, but they even put that in.
Authentic, so very authentic.
It was authentic, and they recreated the puppets and the neighborhood of make-believe set, the castle, and the interior, and they duplicated McFeely's costume. They even used my I let them use my glasses on McFeely in my delivery bag. So I have a little bit of touch of McFeely in Tom Hanks' movie. It's coming out November 22nd, so your listeners, if they want to see it, should be in St. Louis around that time.
Wow. And one other question. I was watching some old interviews from Fred Rogers, and there was one interview he was on Johnny Carson's program, but it was Joan Rivers filling in.
Oh, yeah.
And Joan Rivers asked him a question, do you ever get hate mail? So I was curious about that. Were people ever critical writing letters into the show?
Oh, yeah, they were. Sometimes they were mean. We hated that. Or they would say... why do you do that? Oh, we did a week on divorce, and it took Fred 5 years to how to write that.
Craft that message.
It was the most requested topic we got from the fan mail. Well, he finally did it. He finally thought, I have it. He did it, and we taped it. And then afterwards, there were some letters saying, why would you do something like that? And now my children think we're going to get divorced, you know. So, but that's not at all what he was saying. The main idea was, if it happens in your family, it's not the child's fault. And you have to see the week. It was not at all threatening, but it was done in such a Fred Rogers way that it was helpful and supportive. And not at all threatening. But yes, we did. There was never any terrible hate mail, but we got people who didn't agree, and Fred, Fred answered all of the mail.
Is that right?
He didn't. He read every letter that left the office,
right,
and would sign it. And there were some people who would organize the mail in different piles. And if it was just send me your picture, well, he would sign the picture, but they would craft the letter for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if there were difficult subjects, which there often were, Fred would...
He would care enough to do that. Like he would take time out to understand this was something that meant
that was
a lot.
The most important
thing
that went out, the most important element of what we were doing was the fan mail, because that was a reaction to what I think his mission was on television. He thought let somebody else do that. He was very much hands on. He was so concerned about children and their feelings and their well-being. He was quite a... It was not an act.
Yeah.
He was the real thing.
Yeah.
It just lets people to know that the neighborhood is still around for future families coming along.
Absolutely.
And I hope they tune in. And it's also on PBS.org. It's online, too, on PBS. They can get it there to their programs there.
Yeah,
and they can go to the Mr. Rogers. It's MrRogers.org, I believe, and they go to watch. And there are programs on there. We add programs on our website.
So it's FredRogers.org, and then as soon as you get to there, it says go to Mr. Rogers, MISTER, MrRogers.org.
Okay, and that's how you can see some programs too.
Yeah.
So they're still there, and I hope people spread the word, because a lot of people don't know it's still available, but it really is for future generations. So what people are doing now, as you're doing, they introduce Daniel Tiger, and that leads to Mr. Rogers, and so that's a whole other wholesome program for kids to watch. So
wonderful. It really
spread
is.
The word.
And I got to say, I am so thankful that you took the time to respond, not only to me, but to my son. And I just think it's wonderful that you still answer letters. I just thank you so much for doing that.
Well, thank you for spreading the word about the neighborhood, and tell your son I said hello.
David,
okay.
I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay, and a speedy delivery.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.